We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 573 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and after the last international break of the season, we've got another five headlines on our hands, this time against Garcia Pimienta's Las Palmas. I want to say thanks a lot to everybody that's joined the Patreon in the last few weeks, listened to the show, or watched along on YouTube. I always appreciate the support, and remember to subscribe, give it a like, all that stuff goes a long way. So let's do it, the five headlines from Barcelona's 1-0 win over Las Palmas. Headline one is often offside. Now, without Xavi yelling at them on the sideline, it was his brother Oscar Hernandez instead, we saw a similar lineup that we saw against Napoli. It was Christensen, Ron Araujo, who weren't fit, so Sergio Roberto and Iñigo Martinez got the start. Those were the two changes. No rotations for Lewandowski, Gundogan, Koundé, or Lamine Yamal after the international break. Those were the four that I would have circled that you would love to have rotated, but they said because of all the injuries and other players missing, they had to get the start. No Julen Araujo, by the way, for Las Palmas, due to both the fear clause against the parent club and an injury he sustained with Mexico over the international break. It is unfortunate, too, because he has had a rough last month or so after playing really well for the first half of the season. So I was interested in seeing him, but not in this one. That means that I do have to watch an entire other game when he comes back into the first team for Las Palmas. But even with Julen Araujo not in their lineup, it was still a quite familiar Las Palmas side. Mika Marmol, Munir, Sandro, and then the left back Sergi Cardona and the goalkeeper Alvaro Valles have both been linked to Barca this season. So this is a team that I've also watched them a bunch this season because even though for the first half of the year they didn't score a lot of goals, I really like the way that Garcia Pimienta's team play. They're just enjoyable. I don't want to say that it's favoritism because of all these Barcelona connections, but I do just enjoy the way they play, even if the level isn't as high as even a Girona was for so much of this season. Back to our first headline about being offside, there were three early chances for Barcelona because they started well on the press, which is always a good sign, attacking the center back on the right side, so Coco. The second one was flicked over by Lewandowski, but again, it was also offside. And then the third attempt was Fermín López taking the ball off of Mika Marmol and Lewandowski offside again. This did show indications that Garcia Pimienta's side, even on the road, they are unafraid, and that has led them to the place they are in the table, but it also kind of keeps them where they are in the table, right in that middle ground. His side attacks well, but defensively, they've been poor for a few months now, and you could see that early in the way that I think Barcelona, even without Pedri and De Jong, were really clean on their pressing, and that happened after the international break as they were getting back into their rhythm. It didn't hurt that Las Palmas was playing a really high line, and they do push Marmol in attacking positions when driving, which, if you go up 1-0, if you're Las Palmas, yeah, it all works great, but if you wind up not getting your goal, then things can get ugly. Cardona, I also thought, did rather well with Lamine Yamal in the first half. Garcia Pimienta also wise to overload their left side, that being Las Palmas's, and live with whatever Rafinha could do in space on the left, which is a bit of foreshadowing for later in these five headlines. No Christensen also made it more of a double pivot with Roberto and Gundogan, so Gundogan was kind of stuck deeper at times, which isn't really ideal as we've talked about many times before, but I did like that Roberto was the one who pushed further forward on the press. I also thought Roberto, I'll say it now because I don't think I'll get to him in any notes later, I thought Roberto had, for the second game in a row, just a solid all-around performance, and these are the kind of assured, veteran, experienced performances that do validate both his captaincy, his leadership, his connection to obviously the Catalan club that he's been with for a long time, that in theory does help integrate the La Masia players who are now going on the same journey just 12, 13, 14, 15 years later in the case of Lamine Yamal and Pau Gabarsi. But in the case of Roberto, these are the performances you want. And if he is happy just playing 8 to 12 to 13 times a season, then I'm totally fine with keeping him around. And you send Alonso and whoever else you want to send back out of the club, you let them go, but you keep Roberto around for next season as the 23rd, 24th, 25th man on the roster who does not play unless you have a myriad of injuries the way Barcelona do. 16th minute, speaking of Gabarsi, diagonal pass to Lewandowski that the Polish striker fired at Vaez. And like Roberto, I'll tell you now, I don't really have any other notes about Gabarsi because another fantastic, tremendous game, especially on the ball from the 17-year-old. And very much like Lamine Yamal, I said about him 2 weeks ago, and I said the same thing about Gabarsi as well 2 weeks ago, that if I wax poetic about them each and every five headlines, I'm going to run out of things to say by the time they're 18, 19 years old. So I'll just say another really good performance by Gabarsi. Look up his stats after this game, and I bet online especially you'll see plenty of praise for the center back. Now, the creme de la creme of the offside opportunities wound up leading to what was an offside goal in the 19th minute. From the back to the front, though, I'm just happy about the buildup. Let's pretend this goal actually had counted, and let's get excited about this buildup from Barcelona. Back to front, it starts with an interception from Gabarsi off the Las Palmas throw-in with Fermín López applying the pressure. Then the triangle of Fermín, Gundogan, and Koundé work through the Las Palmas counter-press. Roberto then resets to Gabarsi, and he plays the ball into the middle that Rafinha flicks up and Lewandowski plays onto Cancelo. Lewandowski then dummies a return, and Fermín flicks Lewandowski through. Lewandowski outmuscles Coco, and Rafinha passes it into the net. Really good goal from Barcelona. 8 of the 11 players touching the ball and were involved in an attack that went 90 yards. But unfortunately for Barcelona, Rafinha called offside in what was the right call. Coco touched the ball on Rafinha and not Lewandowski, so that meant that it was the same phase of play, and it's the right call, unfortunately. This kind of offside call about the same phase of play doesn't happen too often, but it happened in this case, so yes, it was correct.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you think of great duos, who do you think of? Jordan and Pippen or LeBron and Dwayne Wade? I mean, I talk about basketball a lot here on this podcast, but for the Barcelona version, there's Piqué and Puyol or Piqué and Mascherano, or the easy example of Xavi and Iniesta. And as you can hear from my voice, the perfect teammates aren't just professional athletes. It's cold season. I guess the flu and cold medicine, perfect teammates as well. But in this case, when it comes to growing your business, that's you and Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. To be honest, I've been doing this show long enough, and as I mentioned, it's cold and flu season. You hear it in my voice, especially during the holiday season. So whenever it comes to this business, anything that I can set up and kind of have working in the background that I know and can trust is just plugging along without my attention, those are the things that I really value at this point. So when my brain is foggy and all I can do is manage to turn on the microphone, talk to the guest, or just talk to myself and get out a piece of content, everything else, having that all automated or working in the background, that's been important to keeping me sane. And that's the thing about something like Shopify. What I do love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So no matter how big or small, how good of a month or how bad of a month, things are just the same working in the background. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs on every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tbpod, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tbpod now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/tbpod. Headline two is Red in the Rain. It was a rainy day in Barcelona, and funny enough, I was trying to figure out, was the weather hurting Las Palmas more than Barcelona because of their tight passing sequences? And I think is a superior way that they play in positional play than Barcelona, even if their high-level talent isn't better than Barcelona. But I also thought the slippery ball, it may have made those things difficult, but in one moment if the goal were to have gone in the back net for Las Palmas, then I would have said it was their advantage. So let me know which of the two teams you think had the advantage, either down in the comments or hit me up on social media with which team you thought had an advantage with the weather. But I think a slight variation, maybe this is on purpose though too, or maybe just dealing with the weather, they did decide to try and play it over the top to Marvin Park or Sandro. And the way that they went to this pretty early makes me think that this was part of the game plan to try to find Marvin Park in isolation, getting in behind Cancelo. Unfortunately for Las Palmas, if you are going to throw your right winger forward like that, and he's not really going to be helping defend because he's going to be the outlet on the long balls, that means you're leaving some space in behind. And as I said before about overloading Lamine Yamal's side to throw double teams at him and put him under pressure, that meant that there was room for Rafinha. And in the 24th minute, he got more of that room than he could have wanted. Baez, for all the compliments I wanted to give him and had an eye on him to potentially be a backup keeper for next season, well, he picks up the red for a slide tackle on Rafinha. Las Palmas, they were playing with fire here. And if you're going to give the ball away in the middle of the field like this, where in theory you have more numbers, that means there's going to be a lot of space on the counter. So Gundogan and Roberto staying close to each other, which is also a really important part of defending that press. I know you think back to the Guardiola years when it comes to how a team is supposed to play together and you keep your midfielders close. Well, one of the other reasons to do that is because Iniesta and Xavi, just as individual players, we're not amazing ball-winning midfielders or interiors, no. But they're spaced together along with Busquets, the three of them always on that press together, cutting out passing lanes. And I do think Pedri and Gabi are both pretty good at this as well, cutting down that space in those passing lanes, even if, well, Gabi's more of a natural ball winger. But you get my point. Staying close together, that means one ball is going to create a numerical advantage for you in the opponent's half. So Roberto plays Rafinha with his left foot, which if he had moved the ball over to his more natural right foot, the space would have no longer been available. So good on Roberto to play with the left-footed pass. And this is a red in a lot of ways. The amount of force, goal-scoring opportunity, and the goalkeeper knew it right away. Munir, unfortunately for him, was also the casualty to get the backup keeper, Aaron, on the field. Working through that first half, 32nd minute, Cardona fouled Lamine Yamal, wasn't called, then stood him up a moment later, so highs and lows with that matchup. Not that Cardona or Lamine Yamal played great, and neither played poorly either. 35th minute, should have been a goal here. Cancelo crossed into the head of an informed Lewandowski. Perfect cross, but Lewandowski may have lost it behind the leaping Coco, and it hit his shoulder, then hit the underside of the crossbar, so no goal there. 45th minute, though, that was the best chance of the first half. Rafinha coming into the space at the top of the box. Well worked by Gundogan, Cancelo, and Rafinha. Really well done by Gundogan to open up the space in the middle by playing Cancelo in behind, but Rafinha could not finish. And then first half extra time, Barcelona could have been down with an extra man, but Coco just wide on a free kick attempt. Too much power for Ter Stegen to get to it. If it was on goal, then down the other way, Lewandowski played in behind over the top, and Aaron did well to take him wide. On to headline three, Rafinha everywhere. Las Palmas for the second half were quite a bit tighter and had quite a bit more gamesmanship with the fouls and the contact. And you could see that Barcelona, particularly Gundogan, when he picked up the yellow, were getting frustrated and they were playing into it some too. So I was a bit nervous there to start the second half, even though Barca were up a man. 56th minute, knowing something needed to change, Xavi through Oscar Hernandez puts Joao Felix on for Fermin. An attacker on with a man up and Rafinha moving to the right interior spot. That's the move here. And I thought in the first half, and even to start this game, you need that midfielder that is Fermin. His profile is more important than having Ferran Torres, who is just coming back from injury, or Joao Felix, or Rafinha playing as a midfielder. I like the fact that it's a midfielder starting as a midfielder. And his profile at this moment does appear to be a bit more important than his level, which is still just kind of a rotation piece at Barcelona, which, as I've mentioned with Fermin Lopez, is not a problem at all. He has energy as the 21st to 25th man on the roster. That's what you asked him to do, and I've been happy with Fermín López. Another good and confident performance for him, including those flicks over to Lewandowski. And if they had led to a goal, I'd have even higher praise for Fermín on the evening. Finally, the breakthrough, though, in the 59th minute, so just minutes after João Félix entered the field, Las Palmas offside on a nervy moment for the Barca back line. But then, playing immediately and getting numbers forward, Roberto carries it to João Félix, who dribbled inside all on his own, doing so much of the heavy lifting on this goal. And then the perfect run from Rafinha off the shoulder of Marmol, Rafinha heading it in confidently into the back of the net. We're going to be talking about João Félix a little bit now, including the next headline, so strap in, because João Félix has 9 goals and 8 assists in his 35 appearances for Barca this season. Which, believe it or not, I know you'd think 17 goal contributions in 35 appearances, that's actually pretty good for a player that has now been on the fringes of the squad since about the new year. So goal contributions for both he and Rafinha are at a comfortable number. And if I use that defense for Rafinha and his performances and say, hey, if he's getting the goal contributions at the end of a season and Barcelona getting the results, doesn't really matter how it's happening. Yeah, he goes missing in some games and he can't necessarily do certain things that would help a team play better or be more aesthetically pleasing on the eye. But if he's getting the goal contributions, that's what matters. And 17 from 35 appearances for João Félix, you would hope that he would have ended this season closer to 22 to 23, which is still very possible, but he's going to have some work to do. And yet, for those who might think that it has been a disappointing season for João Félix, he's actually been involved in more goals this season than even in his best season at Atletico Madrid, where he had 10 goals and 6 assists in 2020-2021. And as Domagoj has said many times on the podcast, every time I bring him on this season, talking about João Félix and the moments of brilliance that he has, including the goal, and then the other moments that he has that we'll talk about in a headline in a second. In the 71st, Ferran Torres on for Lamine Yamal, which puts Rafinha out on the wing and having to play in all the different positions today, the left wing, then a high right interior, then on the right, and Ferran Torres then being put into the middle. Quiet day for Lamine Yamal, as I had said, but that's fine by me. He spent the international break getting a standing ovation with Spain at the Bernabeu. So because Barcelona doesn't play in 10 days, as long as he didn't pick up a knock in this game, and he didn't have to overexert himself out there in the rain, just have him take it easy in training for the next few days. Alberto Melero also got a run out late in the game, a player that was linked to Barcelona through the years. Headline for João. How? Going back to João Félix here, 78th minute. What a moment. Unfortunately, this is a story of João Félix, and this kind of sums up his season for FC Barcelona. He has the assist, which is the game-winning assist, which gets Barcelona 3 points, and Rafinha is the one who scores the goal, so the goal contributions are there in a game when an informed Lewandowski couldn't find the back of the net, and Lamine Yamal wasn't at his best either. So those two guys get the goal contributions, and yet I know that fans are obviously going to remember his match as the one that he missed that should have put this game away with 2-0. He is a yes, yes, no, or no, no, yes kind of player. That is what he is. This ball hits the bottom of the crossbar, then bounces off the goalkeeper twice. I don't know how it stays off. And at this point, the only, I'll say, negative repercussion of him missing because Barcelona did get 3 points was that I think Gundogan would have come off at this moment, but because they didn't score, he remained on the field, and I would have loved to have him come off for Casado, not even for the late minutes for Casado, but to give Gundogan that last 15 minutes of rest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
His headline 5, then missing the next match. In theory, yes, Oscar Hernandez and Xavi could have still taken Gundogan off and trusted a young player, but they were still only up by 1 at that point. Instead, 80th minute, they trust Ortur Romeu and Vitor Roque on for Roberto and Lewandowski. And Lewandowski getting himself a yellow by walking super, super, super slowly to sub off. And now he'll miss Cadiz, which the way that Cadiz has been playing, it's not that big of a deal. I think Barcelona should still have the talent. Even with all the injuries, even with all the players missing, they still should have enough to beat Cadiz. And now Lewandowski only has to worry about PSG twice and Real Madrid once in the next 22 days. So I hope that means a well-rested Robert Lewandowski playing chess while we're playing checkers or maybe following orders from the coaching staff. 87th minute comes, and all those moments I talked about, especially the João Félix miss, the score was still 1-0 when Melero hit the outside part of the net and not too far away Ter Stegen had a right to be frustrated here. Romeu was turned inside out and pretty fortunate that Barcelona were still up 1-0 after he struck the ball. Cancelo also got a yellow late, which I think was also part of the game plan. So he will, along with Iñigo Martinez, miss Cadiz as well. And with all those players missing, though, you better hope that somebody else doesn't go down between now and then, and that would be in training or against PSG, because you do run the risk that Barcelona don't have enough players to field healthy against PSG, then Cadiz, then a pretty quick turnaround against PSG for that second leg. But that is a risk that you're willing to take because you'd rather have them available for El Clasico and, yeah, I guess in theory get a rest against Cadiz in preparation for that second leg against PSG. So I think it all is according to plan. And I will say, while you do take chances with that gamesmanship, it also only to a degree happens because you have some modicum of control in a match. So Barcelona, up a man, found a way to win 1-0 at home on a rainy day with not depleted squad, but one that probably had heavy legs coming back from the international break. So they survived the dreaded FIFA virus, I'd say, with the 3 points against Las Palmas. They get the win, thumbs up for me, with now a full 10 games between now and PSG. So those are the five headlines, and as I leave you, I just want to give a special thank you to the Patreons. Of course, this show and all of this would not be possible without you. You could join and get these shows, at least the audio versions without the ads, for as low as $3, as well as priority answering of questions. Just hit me up on Patreon with those questions, and they will be answered on the next podcast or five headlines or whatever. So Twitter and Instagram is also how you can follow along, close Facebook group, Discord, all that good stuff. And a good rating on the podcast app, subscribing to the YouTube channel, huge help and the easiest way to help me out as well. Most importantly, though, thanks so much for listening to the show. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Of course, Barca.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.